This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, America, or whatever your time zone. You are tuned in to the People Speak radio show with Steve Johnson. The People Speak show normally airs every Tuesday from 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific and 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the BBS radio network. Anyone can participate during the show with call-in questions for our guests toll-free in the USA and Canada on 1-888-429-5471. That number again, 1-888-429-5471. Or you can join us live in the government and politics section of Pal Talk, the largest free chat program in the world, where we have our virtual radio room, the People Speak radio show, that anyone may join to participate in the show. We have a very special guest on our show tonight. I'm more excited than a $10 hooker at a senator's party. We are talking tonight to former U.S. Marine and outspoken political analyst Ken O'Keefe about the modern psycho state of Israel and who he thinks pulled off 9/11. His YouTube channel is One World Citizen, and his website is worldcitizen.uk.net. Welcome here to the People Speak radio show, Mr. Ken O'Keefe, sir.
Well, thank you very much, brother, for having me. That's a very kind introduction.
It's a fantastic honor to have you. It certainly is. We'll be taking audience questions after the first half hour, but my first question to you, Mr. Ken, sir, is what prompted you, first of all, to leave the United States Marines, and what were the circumstances surrounding that?
Well, I was in the Marines for 3 years, and for the first year, I was a model Marine, really. But I ended up speaking out about something a year in. Effectively, my superiors were not leading by example. I thought leadership by example was part of the Marine Corps, and when I reported them for violating their position of power, I did so openly. And boy, oh boy, did my life turn around rather quickly, and I went through a metamorphosis that was instigated by the trauma of being targeted by the platoon sergeant I had. When you're in the Marine Corps infantry and your boss hates you, it's not like having a job where your boss is some sort of prick. It is a whole different level of difficulty in the Marine Corps infantry when your boss hates you. And ultimately, I went through a process of where I reached a point where I had been targeted so much because of what I had done that I really didn't give a shit anymore. And eventually, I ended up doing some steroids in the Marines. This was very common. I didn't do that much, actually, but the Marine Corps used that as an opportunity to kick me out when they were downsizing anyway. I mean, there's a lot more to the story, but the bottom line is, as far as I'm concerned, I don't really care how anybody judges me. I served with honor. I did what I was meant to do. And when I did the right thing, I got punished, and that was the greatest thing that ever happened to me, because when I realized that the Marine Corps wasn't all that it was cracked up to be, it opened up my mind to the possibility that maybe other things weren't quite what they were cracked up to be. And I commenced to a course of independent study in the years following my departure. And the more I studied and the more I learned, the more I realized virtually everything I had been told as a red-blooded American patriot was a lie, and I'm very grateful for it. So it was very difficult at the time, but it's the best thing that ever happened to me.
So in actual fact, being dismissed from the forces was a blessing for you.
It was indeed. I mean, I did 3 years, and I got the full experience. I went off to the first Gulf War as well. Thankfully, I never had to kill or harm anybody over there. I don't know if I ever would have recovered from that, quite frankly, and so I'm grateful that I never did anything like that. But my experience in the Marine Corps was, the trauma is used in a negative way all the time. In fact, if you read about MK Ultra and mind control techniques, trauma is an instrumental element in affecting people. It can split personalities. A lot of things can happen. But trauma can also be used in a constructive way. And for me, that's exactly what it did. Keep in mind, After growing up, as you know, as an American citizen, we are all taught that America is the greatest in the world. You know, no other country even comes close. Freedom and democracy and all that. Now, that's ridiculous, but it becomes completely real when everyone around you believes it. It's reinforced a million times in your life. So you believe that that's true, and it's embedded in you. The trauma that I experienced actually shattered that embedded, indoctrinated perspective that I had and opened up my mind to things that I would never have considered were it not for the trauma. So, yes, it was a fantastic thing that happened, but very difficult at the time again.
Certainly. You've done an amazing amount of work for awareness of marine conservation in and around Hawaii. Can you tell us more about what you've achieved?
Well, the ocean was always my first love. I gave up playing football. I mean football proper, not American football. They call it soccer. But I loved football when I was a kid, but I gave it up for surfing because my love for the sea was always, well, that was my first love. So it wasn't too surprising that after I got out of the Marine Corps, I became a scuba diving instructor. I also got a lot of tattoos during that period, so nobody would hire me. So that forced me to start my own business. And, you know, we had a very simple mission statement. Our mission statement was to provide superior service and customer satisfaction to protect and defend the marine environment we operate within. And it was in that time I crewed with the Sea Shepherds, Paul Watson of the Sea Shepherds. Many Australians will know who he is, and many Americans know who he is. But the love for the sea that I had and the knowledge of how much the sea and the oceans were being destroyed motivated me quite seriously. And I ended up doing something that was unheard of. I mean, I ended up rescuing 46, I think, green sea turtles that were wrapped in fishing line. It was truly remarkable. It was a connection between me and those turtles, really something that you couldn't explain. And most people would probably discount as being some hocus pocus, you know, whatever. But the bottom line is I had a real connection with these sea turtles. And by rescuing them and getting a lot of those rescues on video, I started a campaign to get a marine sanctuary set up. And actually, we achieved that goal, which was remarkable, truly remarkable, miraculous, really, because less than 1% of Hawaii's coastline is protected. But a section of that coastline in our own backyard is indeed protected. And it was because of the turtles as much as myself, if not even more so. And we also did other things like recover ghost nets and also marine debris. And now marine debris is a really big issue. Hell, we were collecting marine debris. We had a huge pile of marine debris in our own, the back of our shop, to educate people about this back in the 90s, you know, way before anybody knew what was going on. And, you know, I'm happy to know that more and more people are aware, but I used that scuba diving business and the resources that it afforded me to protect the marine environment. I was very passionate about it, and we did get some amazing results.
Would it be fair to say that your time doing that is where you began or initiated your activism for peace and throughout the world?
Well, actually, what really happened there was I was living in Hawaii, and I realized at a certain point that while I was doing good work in terms of protecting the marine environment, I had not actually paid my due respect to the people who come from that land, the Hawaiian people, or more accurately known as the Kanaka Maoli. And I realized I do need to understand the culture and the history. And so I studied the history, and I started going to meetings for people who were seeking Hawaiian independence, Hawaiians who were seeking to be independent. And I realized a lot of truths about Hawaii. And for me, the question was very simple. If I were Hawaiian, what would I want? You know, and when I looked at it from that perspective, I knew for sure I would want for Hawaii to be free. I would not want the empire, the American empire, to use my land as a military outpost to carry out its atrocities around the world. I would want Hawaii to be what it is, Hawaii. Hawaii is not or should not be an extension of an empire. And so I committed myself to that process. I renounced my U.S. citizenship during that period before 9/11 in 2001. And I became a target in that process. I produced a film, which is online on my YouTube channel if people want to see it. It's called The United States of Hypocrisy. I produced that in early 2001, And I had a lot of problems. You know, they were coming after me. I was getting tickets and constantly going to court and, you know, just being violated, trying to defend myself and stand up for myself. And, you know, it's not easy. You know, it takes a lot out of you. And then 9/11 happened. And I literally had to flee. You know, I knew I would not last in America. I knew that I would be arrested and probably framed for something that I didn't do. If you read my renunciation statement, which I handed directly to the United States, the State Department, I basically told them in writing to go fuck themselves, excuse my language, and that I knew exactly what my nation was responsible for, and shame on us, and we needed to, the least, to begin with apologies to everyone we had violated, and then to compensate and repair as much as possible the damage that we have done. And obviously the United States is far from doing that. It's continued on its insane path since I've left. But I had to leave, and I sought political asylum in the Netherlands when I fled the United States 2 months after 9/11.
Now, renouncing your U.S. citizenship and burning your passport, did that have any ramifications or any blowback towards you personally when you did that?
Well, funny enough, you know, the U.S. Government knows full well that I burned two U.S. passports, and these passports were returned to me after I had renounced, and I never would have burned them in the first place had it not been for the fact that the United States to this day refuses to recognize my human right, everyone's human right of self-determination. You know, I don't live in the United States. I have fulfilled on three different occasions. I have fulfilled all of the obligations of renunciation. It's a formal process. You have to request paperwork, fill it out, send it to the State Department. They give you a date to renounce in a foreign embassy. I have done that three different times. During that process, you actually swear under oath, put your hand up and swear under oath that you everything in the statement is true. You hand over your passport. And you have to leave the country. I've done all that. I've done it three times. I've not lived in the United States for, 14 years. And the U.S. still considers me a U.S. citizen. Virtually, literally, the United States insists that they own me and that they determine my political status. This is quite a big issue, really. And I think it has profound implications for humanity. If nation states determine our political status and effectively can keep us in a contract, which, make no mistake about it, citizenship is a contract. And under that contract, you have rights and you also have obligations. And one of the obligations of citizenship is to pay taxes. Many Americans are now renouncing their U.S. citizenship because the tax structure is so insane that if an American moves outside of the United States, all of their income is taxable way back in the United States. And everything that they do, their banking system and everything, is monitored by the United States, and people are meant to pay taxes. And what's done with those taxes? Well, the truth is they're just paying down the debt from the interest on the bankers who are able to make ungodly amounts of money. But, you know, in theory, basically, those taxes are used to carry out policies of war and mass murder. I am not going to pay one penny to the United States government so that it can use my money to murder a brother and sister halfway around the world based on a pack of lies. This is the reason why I renounced. The U.S. has refused to accept it. But the bottom line is, you know, it is what it is. And, you know, it's up for people to decide, do nation states actually own us, or do we have the right to determine who we are and what our political status is?
Could it be that you're such a quality guy, the United States just can't bear to let you go?
Well, that's a funny idea. You know, you'd think they'd be happy to see the back of me, but apparently maybe they do love me. I don't know. I know there are good people in the U.S. who appreciate what I'm doing, and I certainly make a distinction between the good people of the United States, who I have no problem with, other than I wish they would do a hell of a lot more to restore the U.S. Constitution. Currently, they have allowed a state of affairs which has completely destroyed the U.S. Constitution. It might as well be used as toilet paper, quite frankly, because it's pretty much worthless at this point. And according to U.S. law, as things stand, for every American red-blooded patriot out there, you do realize that your U.S. Constitution is worthless and that the U.S. government can come into your home, kidnap you, take you to a secret location, interrogate you, torture you, find you guilty in a secret military tribunal, and literally execute you, all of which can be done without any notification to your family members or any providing of counsel to you. That is all legal because the U.S. Constitution is dead as it stands. I find that quite shameful, and that is my biggest problem with the so-called American patriots. But in truth, you know, I feel love for my American brothers and sisters and really hope that they stand up and do what's necessary to bring honor back to their nation. But until such time, I want no part of it, and you can take my name off that damn list of citizenship, and I find it all very shameful.
Now, a lot of folks all around the world first heard about you after you disarmed an Israeli commando on the Mavi Marmara aid ship delivering building supplies to Gaza. Can you relate to us here today exactly what happened during that incident?
Well, actually, I was involved in disarming two commandos. I did not do it by myself each time. Each time that I disarmed a commando, there was one other brother who actually we kind of I got there earlier in both cases, but only by a fraction of a second. And then another brother came. In the first case, I got to this commando and managed to take a 9mm pistol off of him. And then another brother on the ship and some others grabbed him and pulled him inside the ship. I then proceeded to figure out what to do with that weapon. I considered it evidence. People had already been shot dead. There was blood all over the place, so I didn't really want to throw it into the ocean because for all I know, that weapon was used to murder somebody. So eventually, I took the bullets out of the weapon. I separated the bullets from the weapon. I gave the bullets to some people, and I hid the weapon. We never recovered that because obviously the Israelis took over the ship. But the bottom line is that was the first disarming, and then I disarmed another commando with another brother. This time he had a submachine gun that was taken by the other brother. And again, this commando was taken inside the ship. And I think the important thing to remember here is not so much what I did, but the fact that we had three Israeli commandos, the best of the best, and they were taken inside the ship. They were surrounded by 100 to 200 men. And at the end of the day, we let these people go. And they are alive today because we let them go. And all the while, the Israelis say that we're terrorists or, you know, accused us of being terrorists and all this kind of BS. The bottom line is they murdered 10 people, actually, on that ship. Good people who were doing the right thing, trying to do anything that we could within reason to help the people of Gaza who have been suffering immensely for many years now. And they murdered them. And yet we had three of theirs. And now, while there were many angry people on our ship, and some of them probably would have liked to bring harm to these commandos, we let them go, you know. And that pretty much tells the story of what we're facing, you know. At the end of the day, the Israeli machine is violating the Palestinians in ways that most Americans could never even imagine.
And I do believe that the IDF were not very happy that you managed to capture their soldiers. Did they exact any revenge on you when you got arrested and taken into port?
Yeah, they did. I mean, you know, I was beaten up a bit. You know, it's just a cowardly bunch, really. I mean, you know, this is I've always been very unimpressed with bullies, you know, from childhood days. I never liked bullies. And the Israelis are just a bunch of bullies. You know, they could never win in a fair fight. The Palestinians would kick the shit out of them if it was a fair fight. They've got way more strength and will. But hey, the Israelis got, you know, the empire, the American empire behind them, free weapons, the best technology is available to them. Hell, they've even got nuclear weapons, the worst kept secret in the world. And, you know, after they, you know, beat me up and stole my Palestinian passport, by the way, I never got that back. I turned it over to them, said, you want to deport me, then deport me to Palestine, you son of a bitches. And so they stole my passport, beat me up and sent me off. And then they said, to this day, the official position of the Israeli Defense Forces is that I am, quote, an operative of the Hamas terrorist organization and that I was traveling to Gaza to, quote, form and train a commando unit for Hamas.
Oh, my gosh.
which is like a bad joke and a great honor in this Orwellian world of ours where everything is turned upside down. That's right. You know, if the Israelis are calling me a terrorist, that's probably one of the greatest compliments that someone could have. And you know what? I'll wear it with a badge of honor. But, of course, the truth is I'm not a terrorist by any stretch. I'm against all forms of terrorism, especially state-sponsored terrorism paid for by American and British taxpayers and others. You know, I stand against violence. Only in the case of self-defense would I support violence, and in which case I fully support it. But aside from self-defense, I would hardly ever endorse or support violence. But I won't sit here and be a hypocrite and pass judgment on people who use violence. If I lived in Palestine, if I was born in Iraq or Afghanistan or many nations of this world that are being invaded and occupied, I'm pretty sure that I would be involving myself in violence. And I fully understand why my brothers and sisters do just that when, in fact, their land is being so violated.
And that would be purely as a measure of self-preservation, in fact.
Well, you know, I mean, let's put it this way. I ask every American who's listening out there, if they're to be honest themselves, let us suppose that America is not the most powerful nation in the world. And let us suppose that the most powerful nation in the world that happens to be halfway around the world decides to concoct a whole lot of lies about how threatening the American people are and how much they need to invade and occupy America because this small, relatively powerless American nation somehow threatens this big, powerful nation halfway around the world. And this big, powerful nation concocts all these lies, then invades the country, kills tons of people in mass. Maybe they kill your mother or your son or your sibling or whatever. And they're destroying your country. They're bombing the whole place. They're torturing some of your brethren. What would the American people do? I mean, really, seriously, would you sit down and bend over and just take it where the sun don't shine? Or would you reach down, grab a hold and fight like a son of a bitch and kill every last invader who was in your country? Because that's what I see the Iraqi people and the Afghani people and others doing. And I find it beyond stupidity and hypocrisy that the American people don't recognize that we are, in fact, the invaders, and that those that we're calling terrorists are doing exactly what we would do if the situation were reversed. It's very, very simple. So, you know, listen, I don't give my my loyalty to any one group. I don't even care if that group is right. The bottom line is I care about all of my human family, and I only wish that my American brothers and sisters would seriously learn from all of these horrendous mistakes, do the right thing, get your fucking traitors in the Congress out of there. These people need to be arrested forthwith for violating their oath to uphold the Constitution. And ultimately, you need to get a government in place that respects the U.S. Constitution. You need to rescind every single law that violates the U.S. Constitution. And you need to redouble your efforts to make sure that you never allow such traitors to run your country again. It really is very simple from my perspective.
Now, you're widely known for your activism and your volunteer work for the people of Gaza. Can you tell the audience here a little bit about your experience and what you learned from the Soumani family?
Well, you know, the Soumani family is just an incredible story, but you know, their story has now been duplicated many times over. But the Soumani family live in an area of Gaza called Zaytoun. It's actually an agricultural area. It's unlike most of Gaza, which is very urban. And they're farmers. And during Operation Cast Lead, the slaughter that Israel carried out in late 2008, early 2009, basically they forced all of the Soumani family, a very large family, about 100 members of that family, into one of the family homes. They ordered them in there at gunpoint. And after the family went into the home, within a day, it was hit with several rockets. And those rockets killed over 20 members of the Soumani family. Now, some of them didn't die right away, but when any of the family members attempted to come out with white flags to try and get medical help, they were shot at. And the family was literally locked in a partially destroyed home with dead family members, body parts all over the place, dying family members. There were children lying next to the bodies of their to the corpses of their parents. There were parents lying next to the corpses of their children. These people were stuck for 4 days without any medical attention, no water, no food, no heat in the dead of winter, and basically they dealt with that torture for 4 days before they were finally given some level of relief. I spent a lot of time with this family while I was in Gaza. I met many of all of the children, and some of them had lost parents, of course. Some of them had lost both their parents. Some of them were still deeply traumatized and probably will never recover. And some of them were just incredible bright lights that had enthusiasm, were positive, really intelligent, really just amazing, amazingly inspiring. I really connected with this family on a deep level, and it hurts me to this day that I have not been able to do more for this family, and that in fact the life of the people in Gaza is even worse today than it was when the blockade of Gaza began in 2007. It is worse today, and it is beyond shameful that we have not done more to prevent this, but I am hopeful that this will change and that there will be justice in Palestine. In fact, I believe deeply there will in fact be justice and Palestine will be free.
Well, the Zionists have been trying since 1948 and they have not yet been able to fulfill their plan of a greater Israel because of the strength of the Palestinian people.
Indeed. And I don't care what anybody thinks around the world or in America. If you went to Palestine and you met these people face to face, you would develop the same kind of love and respect that I have, because these people carry themselves with dignity in such an undignified situation. They fight with the kind of warrior spirit that any warrior would be proud to ally themselves with. They have been fighting a demon, a monstrosity that was created on the back of so many lies, it's not even funny. And these people have endured all of this, largely ignored and abandoned, not only by the world, but by their own Arab and Muslim brothers and sisters in surrounding countries. And they still stand. They will never give up. They are a testament to the human spirit. And I am absolutely of the deepest love and respect for all of the Palestinian brothers and sisters who continue to fight the good fight. And again, I firmly believe that the Palestinians are going to win. But if they don't, let me just say, I firmly believe that the fate of Palestine is the fate of the world. And if the Palestinians are to be destroyed, so will the rest of us.
Alhamdulillah, the fantastic words, Erkin. Now, I recently read some news reports that Palestine was allowed to fly their flag at the UN building despite the US and Israeli protests. Why do you think that Israel is so afraid of the Palestinians getting their recognition?
Well, you know, it's so amazing, you know, how conned people can be. You know, we hear about the only democratic state in the Middle East being Israel. This is beyond ridiculous. Israel is a Jewish state. It allows any Jew on the planet, in theory, to migrate to Israel. And yet, I have family members on my wife's side who are from Palestine, and her father, in fact, lived in a place called Jaffa, that is now currently Israel. But when he was there in 1948, their family owned land there. That land was all stolen. And to this day, Palestinians who have deed titles to land in Israel have no right to come back to Israel, and yet, or come back to Palestine, to correct myself, and yet any Jew who has zero connection, and I mean zero connection when you get into Ashkenazi Jews, which is another subject, but for those who know what an Ashkenazi Jew is, you know damn well what I'm talking about. The people who are running Israel have no blood ties to Israel or to that region at all. Whereas the Palestinians who literally come from there and who have deed title to that land cannot come there. So this is the reality of Israel today, and they cannot recognize the rights of the Palestinian people, because once they do that, Israel as we know it will be over. And in fact, that is what's going to happen. And the Israeli people know as well that they are losing the demographic battle. Peace for Israel, a just peace for Israel, would be the end of Israel. And let's be honest about this. I mean, there's some sort of kind of skirting the issue, and there is an argument made on the Israeli side that really the Palestinian Solidarity Movement is clandestinely seeking to destroy Israel. Well, let's be honest about it. The truth of the matter is that Israel is, in fact, a monstrosity. It is apartheid on steroids. It is actively committing a policy of genocide against the Palestinians. It is torturing Palestinians on a regular basis. It is violating them and imprisoning them on a regular basis. There are children and even mentally incapable people who are imprisoned in Israeli jails. And ultimately, people are being executed and murdered almost every day in Palestine. You bet that this rogue state, which is the chief proprietor of blood diamonds, which is involved in the organ trading industry, sex slavery. It's committing genocide. It also has weapons of mass destruction, including chemical weapons and nuclear weapons, and has in fact threatened the entire world with the so-called Samson option, i.e., it will use its nuclear weapons against Europe and the rest of the world if it feels its existence is threatened. It has tried to blackmail the entire world on so many levels it's not even funny, and its fingerprints are all over 9/11 and many other false flag events. And for every red-blooded American patriot who's getting upset with what I'm saying right now, you should remember the USS Liberty, in which 34 U.S. sailors and Marines were murdered by Israel and covered up by a traitorous president named Lyndon Baines Johnson. So at the end of the day, do I want to see this monstrosity end? You bet I do. And in fact, I know it will. One way or the other, it is destroying itself by its own actions. There is no room for any such nation in a world that actually has any kind of justice. And certainly we will never have peace when nations are allowed to carry themselves this way. And it's not just Israel, by the way. America in its current form needs to be destroyed as well, and it needs to be reborn in the form of a constitutionally formed government, which is truly democratic, and ultimately that's the only kind of America that I want in existence. The one that exists right now, I also want destroyed.
Amen. You know, I always consider that just as Israel was constructed on Palestinian lands, it can just as easily be deconstructed. Do you agree there?
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, listen, I don't want for anyone to be murdered. I do not want for the Jewish people to be killed. I don't want pogroms. I don't want anything like that. What I want is justice, period. And that doesn't mean vengeance. Now, there are a lot of people out there who've lost loved ones. Many loved ones have been slaughtered as a result of these policies by Israel. And at the end of the day, it's up to them whether they want to forgive this or not, and I'm sure many of them will not. But for me, I don't want vengeance. I simply want what's right, what's just. And for me, I know for a fact that most Palestinians could and would live side by side with Jewish people if those Jewish people could manage to find some self-respect and respect for their neighbors. That is the reality of that region for millennia. The Palestinian people, largely Muslims, many Christians, lived with Jewish people, and there was, for the most part, no serious problems. It is a lie that this is about hate for Judaism. That is not true at all. It is for hate of the Israeli state, which has a horrendous Talmudic form of Judaism that is being practiced, a Talmudic form of Judaism that says Jesus Christ is boiling in hot excrement in hell. Look it up if you don't believe what I'm saying. It is a Talmudic version of Judaism, which says that Mother Mary was a whore. It is a Talmudic version of Judaism that allows for a Jewish man to be able to rape a three-year-old non-Jew. I am not making this up. Go look it up. If these facts were known about Islam, if these things were true about Islam, can you imagine? Everybody on the planet would know it. And yet, the form of Judaism that is being practiced by the highest levels of authority in Israel actually endorses rape of three-year-old girls. When they circumcise little boys, the rabbi actually puts his mouth around the penis and sucks the blood. I am not making this up. This is Talmudic Judaism, and this is what is being carried out in Israel. So for those who want to support Israel, especially the idiot Christian Zionists, my God, how stupid are you? These people hate Jesus Christ, and they definitely are using you like a bunch of idiot pawns for their own sick and twisted game. That is the reality.
Absolutely.
You know, this is the reality. I'm not exaggerating here. What I am saying is the truth.
This is the People Speak Radio Show. I'm your host, Steve Johnson, talking with fantastic special guest Ken O'Keefe live on BBS Radio. And we'll be right back with our guest and audience questions after this short message break.
With over 150 million registered users, Pal Talk is the largest video chat community in the world, with over 300 Pal Talk support staff speaking dozens of languages to help you enjoy your online experience. Meet new people across town or country or continent while chatting about your interests. Sing live karaoke, listen to music, join a lively political debate, or play group trivia in one of thousands of chat rooms in various categories from your PC, mobile, or tablet device. Joining Pal Talk is free and easy. Go to paltalk.com and become part of our friendly community today.
Hi, I'm Richard Valzer. This is the great BBS Radio.
Today's school libraries are filled with endless opportunities. With access to print and digital materials, the latest technologies, and the guidance of a school librarian, our children are empowered with the tools they need to succeed in school and beyond. I'm Julianne Moore. Join me in celebrating all of the ways that school libraries and librarians are transforming learning for our students. For more information on how you can become involved, visit the American Association of School Librarians at aasl.org.
You're listening to BBS Radio. If it's not mainstream, it's on bbsradio.com.
This land is yours.
Join us on The People Speak for an hour of live interviews and audience interaction as guests of various organizations share their work and strategies which impact our world and make a difference. That's The People Speak, every Tuesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern, on the BBS Radio Network.
This land was made for you and me.
You're listening to the People Who Speak radio show on the BBS Radio Network, coming to you live across America and across the world. I'm your host, Steve Johnson, and we're back with our special guest tonight. He's a former U.S. Marine and a citizen of Palestine. His personal website is worldcitizenuk.net. Welcome back there, Mr. Ken O'Keefe, sir.
It's my pleasure, brother. Thank you for having me.
Can you tell us a bit more? What does it actually mean to be a world citizen?
Yeah, you know, it takes a little explaining because a lot of people would misinterpret, you know, what I mean by that, by sort of a one world government type of thing. And that's the last thing that I want, of course. I want for people to be able to control their fate in their communities. I think smaller is better. I want smaller nations. In fact, I'd like to see the United States actually be independent states as it was meant to be. Screw the federal government. States should be able to make their own laws and have their own sovereignty. And that's the way it was meant to be, and it should go back to that. For me, a world citizen is somebody who gives their allegiance to their entire human family and to planet Earth. I mean, I come from planet Earth. Before we as human beings existed, these little lines did not exist. We call them countries and we have all these borders. None of that bullshit existed before we created it. And I'll tell you what, long after we're gone, none of that shit's going to be around again. The way I see it, I come from planet Earth. I have an allegiance to the entire planet. It's all connected anyway, as if we can do damage to one part of the planet and not have it affect others. It's all connected. So as a world citizen, I love planet Earth. It is a great, big, beautiful planet. I wish to hell we'd treat it with respect as a mother, as someone we love, but in fact, we're polluting it, violating it in so many ways. I don't think that's very, very respectful at all. And I also happen to believe that every single person on this planet is a brother or sister. Even though many of my brothers and sisters are brainwashed and acting in the most ridiculous and insane of ways, they are still brothers and sisters, and I genuinely want what's best for everyone. That includes the Jewish people, that includes American people, that includes everybody. But hey, some of our brothers and sisters are acting in such a threatening way that we need to deal with it. And if it comes down to it, if these people cannot act in a way which is not injurious to the rest of us, then they need to be sorted out.
And you know, talking about the borders on a map, I always see it that these invisible lines in the sand, they're nothing more than just another way that the powers that be can divide us up as people. Do you agree
Indeed,
with that?
Yeah. Indeed, indeed. It's the whole nation state system is inherently divisive. I mean, this whole nationalism thing, I mean, you know, listen, I do understand why people have pride in their nation, even though I might disagree on a lot of what they're proud of. I understand where that comes from. I even understand and relate to people who have pride in their own race. I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be a destructive thing. I'm not opposed to people having pride in their culture, their religion, their race, their nation, but not at the expense of their fellow human beings. I find this to be extremely ignorant a very low level of human consciousness and really completely, totally stupid and self-destructive. I mean, in the nuclear age, we cannot carry on like this. The logical conclusion, if we carry on like this as idiots with nuclear weapons, where are we going? You know, we're going to total self-destruction. Now, how stupid is that? I mean, are we really that stupid? I don't get it, but I realize, you know, I'm actually quite optimistic. While I may seem a bit harsh, I mean, the amount of consciousness that has occurred in the last 10, 15 years, especially since 9/11, is truly amazing, truly amazing. So while I have some venom for the nonsense that's going on in our world, I actually am very optimistic on many grounds.
Now, we have a couple of questions from the audience listeners. We have Kawika in Vermont who asks, Ken, is it possible that the Zionists are actually a different species because they seem to be devoid of both heart and conscience?
Well, you know, when you look at the powers that be in Israel, what you see is an Ashkenazi Jewish background. And I would encourage people to look up what that is, Ashkenazi. You know, these people basically converted to Judaism over a millennia ago. And they were a very warlike, kind of like the Huns, you know, they were very warlike people. Genghis Khan came from that same region, basically. And, you know, these people converted to Judaism really for political reasons more than anything else. And they've been practicing this very disgusting, violent, nasty form of Judaism. You could make an argument that they're not human. I mean, they don't exhibit any kind of humanitarian qualities, at least the ones at the top level. So I'm not speaking about every single Jew in Israel. Of course, there are many beautiful Israeli Jewish people. I love and respect to them because doing the right thing in a country like that has its consequences. So let us make no mistake. I'm not blanketing every single person of any group, whether it's Americans or Jews or anybody else for that matter. But those that are running Israel are hardly human. I can agree with that on certain levels.
And just to clarify, you're not calling for them to be driven into the sea either, are you?
No, I'm not calling for anyone to be driven into the sea or mass murdered. You know, I don't want anything like that. But at the same time,
just in case
there's
a mistranslation.
Yeah. Just in case I get an Ahmadinejad dead on me, huh?
We have a question from John in Pennsylvania. What role do you think Israel had played in 9/11, and how did they get to such a level of prominence in our government here in the United States?
Well, let's talk about what we know for sure. The so-called dancing Israelis admitted on Israeli television that they were sent to document the event. So these Mossad agents, some of them are Mossad agents at the least, have admitted on Israeli television that they were sent to document the event. So that proves foreknowledge right there. Aside from that, the only people that were arrested on the day were Israelis. I think somewhere around 30 or 60, something like that. Some of these Israelis were actually caught in vans or running from vans that had explosives in them. This is not me making it up. This is a fact. These Israelis, many of whom are proven to be Mossad agents, also were giving lie detector tests. And many of them, I think even all of them, failed the lie detector tests. And guess what? Dual national traitors in the U.S. government, Michael Chertoff and others, are responsible for quietly deporting these pricks who were involved in nefarious bullshit, which is provable on 9/11. So we know for a fact that Israel's fingerprints are all over the event. Never mind the fact that Israeli-connected security companies and whatnot were having access to the buildings. And then we can get into Larry Silverstein and Frank Lowy, two Jewish billionaires who happened to buy the lease on the Twin Towers when the lease was nothing but a major liability, because it is a matter of public record that the Twin Towers were full of asbestos. And in fact, the Port Authority, who owned those buildings, lost a long-standing lawsuit in early 2001 because the Port Authority was saying they were not liable for the removal of the asbestos, and that would have cost billions of dollars to remove. And they lost the lawsuit. Just after they lost that lawsuit, two Jewish billionaires named Larry Silverstein and Frank Lowy bought the lease on the buildings. Now, why would two Jewish billionaire businessmen who've managed to make billions of dollars
buy two buildings that would cost billions of dollars to remove the asbestos and effectively take over liability for that billions of dollars of removal of asbestos. Not only did they buy the buildings in that context, but they proceeded to double the insurance policies, and within 6 weeks, the buildings literally turned to dust, and then they collected several billion in insurance payoffs. Now, if these people just somehow managed to override all business sense and buy two buildings that were a major, major liability and somehow just benefit by the luck of the Irish somehow to then collect billions of dollars, I wonder to myself, is that a little bit strange? And let us say that Larry Silverstein and Frank Lowy weren't Jewish. Let's say they were Muslims. How would Americans feel about two Muslims buying those buildings in that context and then doubling the insurance policy on the buildings and then collecting billions? Do you think we might know about that if they were Muslims? Yeah, I'm sure we would. The answer is self-evident, but they're Jewish, so they get away with it. Jewish, Israeli, Zionist fingerprints, Mossad fingerprints are all over 9/11, along with traitors in the U.S. government and military as well. It was a joint false flag operation, and if a genuine investigation were carried out with true subpoena powers, I am absolutely sure that we would have ironclad proof of Israeli and American traitor involvement. There is simply no doubt of this.
Exactly. And I do believe Carl Cameron from Fox News reported that 200 Israelis were arrested after 9/11 and 60 of them failed polygraph tests of actually being involved in the event itself. And of course, you say, that they were all transported away, straight away, sent back to their homeland. So very, very interesting. We have a question from Farah in Tehran, a question from Iran here. What's your ideal solution for the Israel and Palestine conflict? Is it a one state or a two state solution?
Well, I, you know what, that is up to the Palestinian people. It's not up to me, but if I'm giving my opinion, I have been honored with naturalized Palestinian citizenship. So, but you know, not having been born and raised and not having the blood, I have to distinguish between myself and true Palestinians. But the bottom line is, I am for one state. I don't see any if let's put it this way, if a two state solution is signed, then here's what's going to happen. This little tiny, impoverished, militarily inferior Palestinian state is going to be sitting right next door to a nuclear-armed, powerfully politically, militarily Israeli state, and they'll always be just one false flag operation away from being pummeled. And that's the way it will go. And the Palestinians will never know anything but misery. And if they sign a contract, if they sign a deal to give away part of Palestine in a so-called two-state deal, that is exactly what will happen. So I pray that the Palestinians never sign such a deal at all. Palestine is Palestine, and ultimately every Palestinian has a right to return to their homeland, and every person who lives in Palestine has a right to exercise their self-determination. And if the Jewish people want to stick around, then they'll have to live as a minority in the land of Palestine, and they'll have to find a way to respect their neighbors or get the hell out of there.
We have a question from Ali in England, in London, England, who says, a lot of Christians support Israel. Why can't we get the media to show that Zionist Jews are harassing, abusing, and robbing their homes and lands, and that Israel hates the Christians just as much as they hate Muslims? Why can't we get the media to show that, is his question.
Well, here, who owns the media? You know, it's a well-known fact that there is an incredibly disproportionate amount of Jewish control of the media. So whether, you know, I have to laugh when I hear Americans, you know, I don't live there, so I don't know if this is still carrying on, but as far as I know, it does. Most Americans have been conned into this ridiculous notion that, you know, the media is liberal and left and all this kind of crap. You know, and they really buy into this right-left paradigm, this Republican-Democrat paradigm. This is all ridiculous. It's all, you know, a big con game. And the media is incredibly disproportionately owned by Jews. So what is the media doing? Well, the media has basically been supporting this ridiculous, farcical, so-called war on terror, which has been villainizing the Muslims of the world to such a degree that we have now invaded how many countries?
Let's see. We've invaded Afghanistan, Muslim country, Iraq, Muslim country, Libya, Muslim country, Syria, largely Muslim country. We've wreaked havoc in all of these countries by supporting dictators, you know, when they sued us. And ultimately, all of this is supported by the mainstream media, which happens to be owned largely by Jews. You know, it's pretty transparent if you've got a functioning brain, but if your brain's not functioning properly, this all may seem a bit complicated. It's not for those of us who are actually thinking, however.
We have a question from Scandalous 33 in New Hampshire. If the average age of the male Palestinian is only 15 to 17, how would they ever rebuild their territory?
Well, that's actually a positive thing, I reckon. You know, Palestinians are very studious. You know, they value education highly, and although it's made very difficult for them to get a higher education, they manage it to a large degree. These are not dumb people. These people are very, very committed to improving themselves and their nation, and despite the fact that they have been pitted against one of the more powerful nations in the world, they do not give up. And I have every faith that the young Palestinian generation that's coming up now has every ability to not only rebuild their country, but lead their country into a proud Palestinian state once again. I have no doubt of this.
We have a question from Screwed in Washington, D.C. Is this, Mr. Ken O'Keefe, is this all an agenda to create the greater Israel?
You know, that is being played, yes, in a word, yes. And for those that don't understand what Greater Israel, the Greater Israel Project is, you need to Google that term first off, you know, familiarize yourself with what it means. You also need to read Odid Yanan's The Strategy for Israel in the 1980s, and also another document called A Clean Break, which was written by the so-called neocons, the Project for a New American Century. The plan basically is to expand Israel all the way up to the Euphrates, up in Iraq, and to parts of Syria and Lebanon, all the way east, over to Jordan and Saudi Arabia, and down to the south and to the Nile River into Egypt as well. This is the greater Israel that is envisioned. Apparently, according to people who buy into this nonsense, God is a real estate broker and has promised the Jewish people a big piece of land. And apparently, this is how low-level and ridiculous God is, because apparently this is somehow a just-minded idea of the way the world should function. And the Israeli people, the Jewish people, to a large extent, are buying into this. Israel is being set up to be the next empire. They will never succeed. I don't care how much power they have. They will never succeed. But that is their dream. And these people are psychopaths, and they're backed by immense power. So that's what they're aspiring to do. And you see the plan being carried out by the destruction of Iraq and other surrounding nations, the destruction of Syria. What they're doing is they're sowing the seeds of sectarian hatred so that all of the Arabs will bleed themselves and basically they'll be in such a weakened, fractured state that all we need is a false flag to justify an incursion into these lands, and expansion of Israel can occur to the point that they achieve this goal of greater Israel. We see it being played out right before our eyes.
We have a question from Mike in California. In your opinion, is planet Earth just one big slave plantation at this point?
Well, we definitely have been enslaved, and the method of enslavement is the financial system. It is pure stupidity on our behalf to allow a tiny group of individuals to run private banks, which charge all of us interest for every single dollar, every single euro, every single pound, pretty much most all currencies around the world. These private bankers earn interest on it. We could never repay the debt. When you think about it in logical terms, you can't pay all of the money back that you owe, because that much money doesn't even exist. That is the whole point of the system, to keep you in perpetual debt. Now, if we do what John F. Kennedy did, the last American president that had any balls and any integrity, and he obviously got paid the ultimate price for it, John F. Kennedy bypassed the private Federal Reserve Bank, which is almost assuredly owned primarily by Jews, by the way. He bypassed the Federal Reserve Bank, which was a treasonous act for it to be formed in the first place. And he did that by issuing United States notes
that were not, again, not issued by the Federal Reserve. I actually have a United States note issued 1963 under Kennedy in my wallet, and I carry it with me. That is the solution. If we wish to liberate ourselves, we only need to do one thing. Take back control of the issuance of money. No longer have it issued in a way that's usury-based, interest-based. Have it issued in a transparent way for the benefit of the people. And if we do this, every single nation on this planet can be free, energy independent, politically independent, sovereign in every way, and be prosperous with world-class infrastructure, education, healthcare. Everything is possible if we only sort out this one thing and take back the control of the issuance of money, do it in an intelligent and transparent way. So this is, again, part of my optimism. We really only need to solve one thing, and we can solve every other problem you can name. I don't care what the problem is. All of it becomes possible to solve if you take care of this one issue.
And the issue being Israel.
Well, Israel and the Jews are our primary players in the financial system. But really, actually, I say no. The financial system should be the top priority. If you solve that, trust me, Israel and Palestine will be solved simultaneously.
So you do see some hope on the horizon as far as people waking up to what scam is going on in this world?
Look, you know, if there's one thing that I've been doing over the last, 20 years pretty much, certainly very, very, very seriously for the last 14 years since 9/11, I've been observing people, and I can say 100% for sure that we are experiencing a growth in human consciousness that is unparalleled in human history. And that makes me optimistic. There is a great chance that we can liberate ourselves. We have within our power to create a better world. It is up to us. It is not up to the minority that is currently running the world. And this is the only thing standing between us and actually having a better world, us realizing our own power.
Final question there, Mr. Ken O'Keefe, sir. Do you support the stop funding of Israel?
100%. It is a treasonous act for Americans to be compelled to pay taxes, to give welfare to the richest country in the Middle East that has nuclear weapons and literally is threatening the world with using those nuclear weapons. It is insanity that the American people have allowed themselves to be used as tools in such a way. It is a disgrace. It is a treasonous act. And I know that at a certain point, the American people are going to have to face this full force. And at such time, they will cut off all funding for Israel.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for staying up to 3 a.m. in the morning, Mr. Ken O'Keefe. I'm sorry to keep you away from your bed. Sorry about that. Thanks very much for being here.
Thank you very, very much. You keep doing what you're doing. Love and respect to you and all the good people out there.
Thank you, sir. You've been listening to the People Speak radio show with special guest Mr. Ken O'Keefe. I'd like to thank him so much and remind all the listeners to visit his website at www.worldcitizen.uk.net. His YouTube channel is One World Citizen. You can check that out on YouTube. Thanks so much for being on the show today. Join us coming up very, very soon on the People Speak radio show when we talk with Rebecca Roth about her new book, Methodical Deceptions, and for a second time with author Auntie Kate Howarth about the Australian forced adoption policies and her experiences growing up. Stay tuned for those interviews coming soon. Big thanks go out to the producers, Mike, Donald, and Doug, and to all my friends throughout the world, and to all the guys who've given me so much support. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. You can tune into my own channel on YouTube called Stop Funding Israel. But for me, for now, take care, God bless, and bye until next time.
One bright sunny morning, in the shadow of the steeple, by the relief of us, I saw my people. And they stood there hungry, and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is your land. This land.